This is Superfast Business with James Schranko. Helping you build your business super fast.
I'm James Schranko, and this is the Wealthification module for people. People is one of the highest costs in running a business. Generally, it is one of the least predictable as well. You will probably, as you grow your business, need to outsource some work. You might need full-time staff, and it is one of the biggest capacity constraints for service businesses. If you plan on having a business that works well without you, then there'll definitely be a people component. But aside from having people in your business, there's still the other people factors. There's you, there's your competition, and then your suppliers as well. So we're going to dig into this high energy topic, and we're going to talk about the difference between full-time teams and variable cost per supply. Let's get into it. At some point, you'll build a team, and I encourage this because that's where you get leverage in your business. And full-time will generally be better than part-time people because you have their full attention and you can establish a real culture. So at the earliest convenient point, it's good to start gearing your business to the point where you can have full-time staff, and they don't actually have to be in the same country as you. You can get very good staff in other countries if you have work that can be done on a computer. And then there are sub-elements as to whether you need to have someone who can speak to your customers or whether you can handle it via some of the systems we've talked about for support. Now, there's a big difference between outsourcing and task sourcing. Task sourcing is where you get little tasks and you have people complete the tasks one by one. And sites like Fiverr are examples of where you would task source. The problem with task sourcing is you have a lot of energy used up in describing the brief, hiring for the brief, and then reviewing the work and paying for it. So it's actually quite a lot more effective to have full-time people. And a lot of the role that your people might be doing could be project management. That way you can really factor in the scalability of your business. A lot of people will grow their business by using dedicated specialist suppliers instead of task sourcing. That's where you find a service that's really good at what they do, and you contract them on a per unit basis or on a variable cost. So as your business grows, the variable cost of supply grows with it. That way you're never really in too much trouble. You don't have the fixed cost of having a staff member on the books all the time. So work out the best combination for you. But the ideal is that it's not you doing all the work. Your goal should be to make yourself redundant in your own business if you want any degree of automation. And if you want to sell the business, you'll have to prove that it works without you. Consider that as you grow in team size, you will need managers. So for every three or four people that you hire, you need to hire a manager to manage those people, and then you deal with the manager and not so much the people. So if you want to scale up to a large team, then you want to have no more than six direct reports, and you want to make sure that no one in your team has more than six direct reports. Another important thing is to make sure within your team that you cross-train at least two people to be able to do the same role wherever possible. That way, if someone leaves, then you have some protection. I call this the Noah principle. So two of everything. So as you grow, you want to ensure that you're able to sustain your business model by having that protection in place. The other thing that you need to consider is as you grow in team size, you will have other requirements such as human resource management, and we'll cover that in just a second. The other thing is your business will require more support. So you'll need to work out the ratio of employees who go to support and employees who go into some form of management or project management versus specialist skills. When you're considering hiring people, remember that the goal should be to be the employer of choice. You want someone to choose to work for you versus all the other opportunities out there, because even after they take the job, you want them to still be happy working for you. You shouldn't be a means to an end. You really should be the end destination. You should be somewhere where people want to belong. So it's important that you learn how to hire well and how to train well, and understand that with human resource, dealing with people, it is a constantly moving target, and it is certainly not easy. Humans are incredible beings, and they require a fair bit of effort towards getting it right. So let's talk about HR management for a second. There's a few functions here, but this is human resource management. And the main functions that you will have to consider, whether it is you now or whether you employ someone for this function later on, is that it's the hiring, the training, and the firing. So let's go through some tips here to save you some time and energy. It's important to set up a hiring checklist. When you want to bring in a role, you should know what tasks that person will be doing, and it's probably a better idea to hire a little bit higher up than what you need so that that person can cover the job you need and a little bit extra for growth. I like to hire more senior people and then have them fill the team under them, because that way the people coming into the business under them are people that they had a hand in selecting, and they're stakeholders in the success of that person. I set up a division of my business to handle the hiring. That is a separate division to the management who actually take on the candidates once they've arrived at the company. That way we have a pure focus on getting the people for the task and putting them through a process in a logical way, in a non-emotional way. And when the teams receive their employees, then they have an induction process. So what we look for is really good employees, and there's a few must-haves and then there's some desirable traits. So we actually list them out in advance. For someone to work in my business, they must have a computer, they must have an internet connection, and they must speak English. If they have those must-haves, they can move to stage two, and that's where we have desirables. But desirables don't mean they have to have it. It just means if they've got it, it could give them an advantage over other candidates. If someone was able to do HTML or had a couple of years' experience in HTML, and if they knew how to build WordPress, they would be a good candidate for a web developer. So you put down the desirables, but here's my tip. If you're prepared to train people, if you get people with the right attitude, then you can skill them up and put that energy into training them, and you'll get a better employee who's less likely to leave you, who really appreciates working for you. Because it's not money that is the primary driver for employment. For most employees, it is appreciation. It is sense of belonging and contributing and being a part of something bigger than just them. And it's also the security and the comfort. So money is important, but it's not the most important thing. As a general rule, be slow to hire and fast to fire. That means you will need to have multiple interviews. Interview at least two or three times with different people. There's the initial criteria must be met before they even interview. Once they interview, you're doing probing into the background and verifying and checking the resources listed on the application. And make sure you do this. A good way to get applications is to set up a form online that filters into a spreadsheet that makes it easy for you to manage. You might use something like Google Docs for that, or SurveyMonkey. The other thing is, when you realize you have a problem and someone's not right for the business, it's better to let them go early. So be fast to fire. Don't have people sitting around because they can be poisonous and like a cancer. A great management technique are the three T's, and this is how to deal with problem areas, and this is what they stand for. The first option is to train somebody. If you do a good job of training people into their job, you avoid problems. Most companies underdo the training. What you should do is set up a training library. At the very minimum, perhaps a training Dropbox that is shared across all employees' computers. And you put Jing tutorial videos that made with the software Jing, a little video of each task. You put checklists, you put resources, and you could put files that have a corresponding name to the task. You could set up Basecamp or a wiki for your employees. But a trained employee is more effective than a non-trained employee. And one of the best ways to help someone learn is to have the buddy system. When people join the company, pair them up with someone who's already doing the job well and have them cross-train, because it helps both employees get a better grasp on their work. For someone to be able to explain it to someone else, they have to know it well, so they'll probably brush up. And for the new person, they're getting trained by someone experienced. The second T is transfer. If someone's not working out in one area, it doesn't necessarily mean that they're bad for the company. It just might mean they're not suited to the role that they're in. I've had a number of examples where we've transferred someone from one department to another, where we've had a better alignment with their skill set, their talents, and their interest level, and they've excelled in the new role. So always be on the lookout for opportunities within your business and encourage transfers where they make sense for everybody. The final option is to terminate, and it's never pleasant, but sometimes you just have the wrong people, and it's not about you or your company. When somebody is continually putting in a poor performance, it's about them. Usually it is that they, through their actions, have demonstrated that they're not suitable for the business. And it's not the person personally, it's their behaviors. It's what they do. So it's not about them even, it's about what they do. So just keep in mind that if you struggle with this termination thing, it's not the person, it's just that the things that they're doing are not consistent or suitable with the activities that you need to have done within your business. And you should free them up and let them get on with finding whatever it is that they are suited to, but it's just not within your business. It's a good idea to have a leaving checklist and to make sure that you deactivate access for employees. When we have employees, we set them up with their own email address within our business, with our own team Dropbox for access to files, and we set them up on a master Basecamp and Google Docs spreadsheet, which doesn't enable sharing outside the company. If someone does leave, we can just deactivate their access and point any email addresses back to our own manager. Of course, if you have a team, that automatically makes you the boss. And steering away from the good old 1980s command and conquer management style, we probably want to be talking more about leadership. And there's a few techniques that could help you with this. One is the loose tight method. This is where you let people have a little bit of a loose rein. You let them be creative. You let them make mistakes. And you let them explore and innovate and develop your business. And then you pull back on the reins a little bit and you pull it up a bit closer to you and you have a look at what's happening and you talk about it and discuss it. And then you let them go again. And the reason this works quite well is that it teaches your team that they can think and they can experiment. And also that occasionally they will have a discussion and we'd look at the sort of things that they've been up to. But it is natural because just like the tide going in and out, the sun going up and down, everything in life vibrates. We breathe in and out. So you need cycles. You can't always be rigidly managing or micromanaging staff, and you can't always be loose and let them go because unfortunately people often work to the level that is inspected, not expected. So what you want to do is find that balance. And let it be loose, let it be tight, and you'll find that this works really well for you. The other thing is it's important to be a role model. Where possible, attend the meetings and have your opinion, and don't put yourself on a high pedestal or the ivory tower. Get down with the troops and dig in and do the things that they would expect that you could do and demonstrate to them that you're just like them and you're human. And even when you do occasionally make mistakes, it's okay to be human and to say, listen, I think I might have been a bit harsh on this the other day, and I apologize if I upset anybody. But they like you to bear yourself a little bit and to be normal. You don't have to be a superstar all the time. But you do have to lead with the front foot, and you have to demonstrate that you are the leader, and ultimately the profit or loss of the business comes down to you, and you're the custodian of this business and it's your ship. So if it does go up on the rocks, ultimately you're the one that takes responsibility. So if a tough decision has to be made, the buck stops with the leader. But the leader can really take advice from other people in the business and not feel as though the leader has to have all the great ideas, because the best innovations, the best ideas are going to come from the team. So be humble enough to receive them and implement them and always credit them where they were contributed, so that your team feel encouraged by putting forward great ideas. Your job really as the leader is to catch major deviations from the norm. You want to find things that are extra bad, the fraud, the lazy employee, the one that doesn't turn up, gross waste of human resource money or damage or negligence. But you also want to find the extra good, the people who are shining, the people who put in twice the effort of everyone else, the ones who have that ability or talent that you haven't properly aligned yet to tasks within your business. That's your job as well. Never let somebody leave, because someone leaves a boss, not a business. If they leave, they're really leaving you. In almost every case, it's because you weren't able to find the right mix. So if it's someone you want, make sure you look after them properly and lead. A great thing to put in the business is a standard operating procedure. And this is just the checklist of things that you do for each role within the business. Could be something as simple as a daily meeting. That's a standard operating procedure. We turn up, we say what we're doing for the day, we listen to everyone else, we go. Then we do the stuff. At the end of the day, we put in a daily activity report, which might look like this. In our team, we ask every person in the entire business to put in a report saying, what did you do today? And that way, as the leader of the business, we can look at the entire hours spent for the day. It could be 300 or 400 hours. And we can say, right, this is all the things that were done. Is this consistent with what we're trying to achieve as a business? Are we rowing in the right direction? Are there questions raised by the team that they're not sure how to answer? Are there obvious deviations from our standard operating procedure? This is a good report. Another one is the start, stop, change report. And that is occasionally asking staff, what should we start doing that we're not doing now? What should we stop doing that we're doing now but shouldn't? And what are we doing now that we should change a little bit? It's a nice way to explore frustrations or innovations or gaps in the business. You're going to ask people to do things for you, and this is poorly understood in business. This is where you can really get a better result if you explain why you're doing something as well as what to do. So if you tell people why we're doing a certain thing and they have context for it, quite often they'll come up with a better way of doing it or add a new innovation. And this is really good. And the onus of communication in the delegation is on the person giving the instruction. It's the obligation of the person giving to test understanding and to make sure that the message got through properly. When you give an instruction, it's good to give an expectation on the time frame required, to give an indication or a promise of support or help if it's needed, or alert them as to where they could get that. If they have any questions or they're not able to complete, then tell them that they need to contact you and confirm with them what they think the objective is and when they feel that it is required by. And if everyone agrees, that is more or less a promise. And then it's your job to follow up if the promise was met. As the delegator, you can certainly ask them to let you know when the work has been done, but it's still something you might want to make a note of and check on, because occasionally something doesn't get done and ultimately it's your responsibility to make sure. One of the good innovations for a more modern business is to have values that you identify represent the business. This is how you hire, this is how you train, and this is how you manage performance in reviews or even a dismissal. You need to identify as a group. It's not you telling the company what the values are. It's the people in the company identifying what they feel represents the business. Here's some examples. They might feel that to be in our company, you must be highly skilled. In other words, if you don't have the skills when we hire you, you will make a commitment to learn the skills that we teach and to be really good. So in our case, we're ninja good. You also want to have a commitment for excellent communication, because this is really important later on when you do have problems and you need to investigate. You may use a technique like the Toyota 5-Y system, where you ask why 5 times. Why did this happen? Why did that happen? And why did that happen? And eventually you get to the bottom of any problem or challenge. Now, if you're an excellent communicating team, then you will get to the challenges quicker and you have a commitment that things will be discussed rather than held back or kept secret. This really can eliminate a lot of the bureaucracy that goes on in a normal business. You might also agree that part of working for the company means that you're discreet and that you don't share information outside the company, thus retaining your intellectual property and keeping your market advantage. So here's a few things for you to consider. It's up to you to sit down and work out what your values are. But once you have them, use them as a basis to hire. You can probe for the candidate's history to see if they fit these criteria. For example, if integrity is one of the values, you could say to the candidate, has there been a time in the past where you were told a secret by perhaps one of your employee workmates, that you weren't allowed to share? And they might say yes, and did people ask you about it? And they might say yes, and then what happened? And then what happened after that? And after that, what happened? So you can find out if their behavior suits the skills that you need. Now, the most important person in the team is you. You are the most vital asset for the business. You're the creator, the founder, the driver of this business. Ultimately, it rests with you. You have to make sure that your head is in the right place to manage a business. So mindset is important, because the way that you think determines your action, and your actions determine what you get. I like to think of it as think, act, get. And one of the biggest problems most people have is fear. Fear of spending too much, fear of liability, fear of making a public failure, fear of letting their family members down. So this is a constant thing that it's worth improving your mind against. And remember that if you decided in the beginning that you want to build this profitable business and you are prepared to pay the price, and you set your beliefs that you're going to do it and you're going to be like water when it comes up against a log or a boulder or a rock, it just goes around it, over it, under it. Even if the sun burns the water, it turns into steam and then it rains back down in the ocean. It's indestructible. If you fortify your mind to that degree, then you are ready. You're ready to make a reflection on the outside world of the way you're thinking inside. If you've got that mental strength, your business will be fine and you have nothing to worry about. One of the best ways for personal performance is to establish a routine. And this is quite simple. It could be sleeping in till 10, eating breakfast, checking with your team meeting, doing something positive for the business like creating content, driving traffic, or coming up with an innovation. And then it might be some more routine stuff, such as checking daily reports and having a look at financial accounting statistics. So that would be a routine. You might have exercise built into that. You might have some fun, read a book, watch a movie, play PlayStation, go outside, walk the dogs, whatever the routine is. I found that having a routine allows you to get set into a good pattern of productivity. People who are too free of routine tend to be all over the place and unstructured, and that could be great for creative juices, but probably bad for your team members. They need to rely on your routine as well. One of the most valuable techniques when it comes to people is to question everything, and that is because we all have assumptions. We need to be curious. Why do we do it this way? How else could we do it? Who's our perfect customer? What problems does our product solve? Do we even know our numbers? Is our marketing effective? These are questions we should be asking, but we should also ask it of the people. Do we have the right people for the amount of business that we're doing now? If we had more people, what sort of business would we do? If we change people around in the business to do different roles, what would happen then? Who's managing this person today? Why is this guy on a day off? When's this lady due back from leave? All these questions are good to be asking yourself so that you can hone in on systematic errors and decide on personal preferences on the way you want to run your business. So just question everything. An example is in the old business that I used to work in, you had to put in your leave notice at least 6 weeks in advance. In my own business, I only ask for a couple of days' notice, and that's because we have two of every person in the business, and it's long enough for us to communicate on the very next daily meeting that such and such will be away. This is who's responsible on that day, and if there are any problems, ask me. So that way, we've been able to question the old assumption that we need to put 6 weeks' notice in and make our place more of an employment opportunity for our team. They're happier working for us because they have a better life. Your own health is important. So as long as you make sure you get enough sleep and drink water, and deal with frustrations as they come, then you'll be okay. You're no good to your employees sitting in a hospital bed. If you were not to show up for a while, then you want to make sure the business runs without you. But the best thing of all you can do to protect your business and all of the employees that work for you is to look after yourself, eat properly, and do what makes sense. As the custodian of your business, you're going to have to be the one who does the majority of the learning. You can really work hard on getting the right environment to get your daily learning. Cut down and filter all the sources of information that you probably have access to and just find the ones that make the most sense for you. In my community, places like Silver Circle are where we have the most controlled learning environment because we have a weekly call to get new ideas and to share ideas and mastermind, and we have the forum community where we can ask questions if we have a problem that arises, and also we get things like book summaries and extra information modules. So have the right learning environment so that you can continue to develop and innovate your business, because if you're not innovating, you're going backwards by default because other people are innovating. Communication is huge, and you're going to have to set up communication channels for you. Firstly, with yourself, how do you talk to yourself? Do you have that positive mind? Do you have the little voice in the head? Is it a good voice? If it's a bad one, you can just delete it. If it's a good one, that's perfect. Is it encouraging? Then it's you with your staff. How do you communicate with your staff? Do you genuinely care about them, and do they know that? And are you accessible for them when they have a challenge? And then there's suppliers. If you have good communications with suppliers, quite often they can refine their offers to match your business and you get a better outcome. You might get preferential pricing or timing or allocation of resources. Communicate well with your competition. So set up your spy channels, your alerts, your watch list. Keep an eye on what's happening so that you can respond quickly. And remember, you owe this to your business and to the employees who are working for you. And also your customers. Set up your communication channels properly, your emails, your messaging, your payment confirmations. Make sure that all the people who deal with your business get a consistent look and feel, and they probably understand what your values are, even if you never told them, because it's reflected in the work that you do. I find that a support desk is one of the most vital customer communication tools that you could have, because it covers pre-sales, during sales, and post sales. From a personal point of view, you really need to set up filters. And this is where I've done a lot of work. And I can tell you that the secret is you want the least amount of information possible. When I was creating this information, I wanted to have the shortest possible lessons with the most impactful information so that it could be consumed quickly, that the points made sense. And I've supported multiple modality, having voice, having an image, having the words. So one of your main goals should be to reduce the amount of things that you have in front of you and that you spend your time on so that you have more energy to focus on the positive things and the good things. My tip for email management is to use Gmail and to set filters and rules and only subscribe to things that are absolutely vital for your business. And anything beyond that, you could have going to a filter if you have to have it at all. I designed software called Speed Dash to make this job much easier. It's a control panel where you can get some basic inputs as to your business. You can set tasks, manage your calendar, and also you have a quick link off to all of the websites that you would need to visit to run your business, such as your shopping cart, your email autoresponder, your bank account, your PayPal account, and anything that's vital for you to visit, your team project management software. In your office, remove distractions. Just put anything you haven't used for the last 6 months in a box and stick that box in the garage. If you don't touch it for another 6 months, you could safely put it in the tip or eBay it. It's best to do single tasks at a time rather than trying to do many, many things, and put all that focus on it. Give it your best. The best way that I've found to do that is to use a whiteboard. Whatever project I'm working on, I just hit it on the whiteboard, make it happen, turn it into the product, finish it, and rub it off. And that is the secret to getting the best possible outcome. If you want to change a bad habit, the easiest way is to replace it with a good habit. It's hard to stop habits, but what you can do is you can just create brand new habits. If you are buried right now and under a pile of trouble, the best thing to do is a power cut. Start with everything and then eliminate all the things you don't need. It's like finding your statue of David inside the block of marble. Remove old papers, files, equipment, furniture, software, systems, procedures, any distractions. Filter really hard and only keep the things that are valuable now or in the short-term future. Another people thing is research. You really need to understand the people around you and especially your competitors. You need to know who they deal with, their customers. How do they compare to yours? What are your customers doing? What's their buying behavior? How often do they buy? Their buying frequency? What do they like about what it is that you offer? What don't they like about what it is that you offer? What do they wish you had but you've never asked? These are things you need to research. Have a look at their business model. What's their growth engine? How do they run their business? What's their likely next maneuver? What's their overall strategy? Could you compete with them or could you perhaps complement them if you are able to take a different angle in the marketplace or eliminate a conflicting product? Perhaps you can partner up with them and share the database or share leads. And of course, the last people thing are the people that you hang around with, your friends, family. Just keep in mind that you do tend to become just like them. If you want to be happy, wealthy, successful, find happy, wealthy, successful people and interact with them. They are the ones who are going to be your metronome and keep you on a consistent plane. So find the right people, cut off people who are poisonous to your relationships, who cause you stress, anger, fear, doubt, concern, query everything, tell you you can't do it. They're not the right people to have around you. Surround yourself with the like-minded peers and you will be successful.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.